Welcome back to Spellbound. I'm Julian Smith.
I'm Andrew Rader.
Happy New Year to all the listeners. And to you, Andrew, it's been a couple weeks because we stockpiled a couple of episodes for our winter break. So the last two episodes were admittedly recorded in the can. So how was your Christmas and your New Year's?
Pretty good, yeah. Went to Ottawa. Athena discovered that farm animals aren't the size of dogs, but they're really big. So she was scared at first, but she really liked them. And she kept saying, animals, animals, please animals, animals. She says
that's
animals.
That's so cute.
Yeah, she loves them so much, the animals.
Hugo calls all animals.
Well, she makes the sound. So if you ask her what, you know, look, if you pointed a picture of a cow or something like that, what's this animal? She'll say moo, right? So she kind of thinks the name for the animal is the sound they make.
It's kind of like if you pointed a picture of a human and say, what's that called? And then she just says, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah. I guess so. Although her language is getting pretty good. You know, she's coming out with all kinds of surprising. And she copies you. It's funny. Like you say, okay. And she'll say, okay.
That's such a fun age. What is she like? She's just over a year now, right? Year and a half.
No,
or something?
Almost two.
She's almost two. Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, with a name like Athena, she is sure to dominate the galaxy at the very least. Mm. Well, today we've got an interesting episode. It could go a number of different directions. We probably aren't going to cover the entire topic in the hour or less we usually devote to these episodes, but we thought it'd be fun to do to give some resolution on New Year's. And it's obviously no surprise that our calendars are, you know, somewhat arbitrary. And there's been like so many different types of calendars. But Andrew, being the history buff that he is, thought this would be a fun topic. And so we're going to kind of dive into some of the different calendars that have existed and do exist and kind of cover their differences and their origins and, you know, just fun little discrepancies between them all. I believe I've set this up correctly. Is that more or less what we're going to be doing,
that's
Andrew?
Right. Yeah. Well, so, I mean, first of all, it's super arbitrary. If you think about it, we're so used to thinking about days and calendars and you know, what date it is today. You know, it's January, whatever it is, January 6th or 7th when we release this probably. But that's just an arbitrary number. It's funny. It's all based on a couple of things, but even the days are based obviously on the rotation of our planet. And
right, my kids were asking about this very thing today.
Yeah, and the years are based on how our planet goes around the sun. And so if we lived in a different solar system, our dating systems would be completely different. I mean, and yes, we just entered the year 2020 in a new decade, but that's completely arbitrary too. I mean, it's just based on where you start and how long each year is and everything about the date and time, the current date and time, is 100% completely arbitrary. And it's kind of funny almost to think about it. And so many things are based on it, like when you pay your taxes and what calendar year it is and plans for holidays and all kinds of things are based on this completely arbitrary thing. Your birthday is like one of the most arbitrary things there is, right? Obviously, you know, if you live for 75 Earth years or whatever it is, those are Earth years. I mean, on a different planet, it would be a different number of years, right?
Yeah.
It's just completely arbitrary. And the world now is more or less kind of unified under a single dating system, which comes from Christianity, basically, although it doesn't really, like, it actually dates back further than that. It comes from the Romans, and the Christians just kind of copied it, and we can talk about that in a little bit. I mean, there are other dating systems still in use today, but most of the world has kind of accepted this one just because Western civilization has been such a overpowering influence. So I just thought we could talk about all these things, and starting with the premise that this is all completely arbitrary. I mean, yes, it is early January right now, but that's just on our planet. I mean, that's something we just invented. It's complete fiction. It doesn't actually exist.
Right. Yeah, and if you're Jewish, it would be closer to the year like 5,600 and something, right?
Well, yeah, because the Jewish calendar dates theoretically from the creation of the world. I think it actually dates to a year before creation, so God had some time to set everything up. Something like that. That's what rabbis hold. Yeah. It's funny. Yeah, a lot of the calendars are based on the sun. I mean, ours is basically a solar calendar, so it's based on how long it takes for a rock called the Earth to travel around the sun. So thus determining seasons, which is very important because you have to know when to plant your crops. So it also comes back to agriculture as well.
Right.
Like everything in humanity, it comes back to agriculture. But
yeah.
But the Hebrew calendar and the Muslim calendar and a lot of calendars actually are not based on the sun. They're based on the moon.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. I had forgotten this, but that's right. And it was also because the moon had, at least in early astrology and stuff, it was associated with a female persona, wasn't it? Wasn't it like a moon goddess? Yeah,
typically the moon is female for some reason across many cultures that aren't even connected. The moon is seen as female and the sun is seen as male. Yeah, it's kind of the natural stereotypes if you think about it. And these are, as Jordan Peterson would say, sort of ingrained to some extent, you know, that males are aggressive and the sun's kind of powerful and stuff like that. And in the moons, it's nurturing. It kind of helps you guide you with a nice light at night. And so,
yeah, I mean, I'm not really sure which one of those forces is more nurturing, but
ingrained stereotypes. I mean, yeah, it definitely corresponds to ingrained human stereotypes. Yeah.
Going back to the point you made just a second ago about, you know, these, you know, the origin of these calendars and agriculture, it just kind of like, when you think about it that way, it kind of paints this picture of, you know, if we were wild creatures, there would be no point in even organizing time. It's basically like calendars allow us to collaborate and to plan when we're going to meet up and do certain things, do work together to collaborate. Yeah. Like, and there would be no point for it. Probably in the wild. Like, I'm sure that there were probably some, there's got to be like cave inscriptions with like early primitive people keeping track of time somehow, you know, before civilization. There's got to be stuff like that. But I would imagine that this idea of calendars and time probably didn't, this is totally uneducated, but my guess would be that it was the act of coming together and doing shit together that brought about the need to organize time in this way.
Yeah, that's totally totally true. So the question is, do hunter-gatherers, did they have any sense of calendars, years? And you're right, the calendar is basically invented to plant crops for planning purposes, for even festivals where we all do the same thing at the same time. So it's important for organizing big communities of humans. Hunter-gatherers probably would have a very different perception of time longer than a day. Obviously, everyone kind of knows what a day is. It's when the sun comes up and goes down. But yeah, I don't know if there's any example of any hunter-gatherers using any kind of primitive calendar at all, or even having a concept of you know, years or something like that. Obviously, it's somewhat important for things that don't pertain to agriculture, just when, you know, certain animals might be in season, like the buffalo migration or something like that. You'd have you'd want to know when animals are moving around, when you can go ice fishing, but it doesn't really require quite as much planning. So it's a really good question. Obviously, I assume they have some concept of it, but hunter-gatherers wouldn't have birthdays then, right? Because they don't have like this year. I don't know if they would have a concept of the year as much as we do. They probably, to some extent, because they'd want, like, it depends on probably the climate too. Like if they lived in California, it's the same all the time, so they wouldn't bother. But if they lived in Siberia, then it's hot some of the time and really cold some of the time, so they probably have more of a sense.
Yeah. This could explain why if you read the earliest Old Testament writings in the Bible, this could explain why some of those people were allegedly like 900 years old. You know, maybe they were tracking time differently, you know, and I'm not saying that the alternative is to actually believe that they were 900 years old, because I don't know anybody that actually thinks that, but I'm saying it seems like a primitive form of timekeeping or something that I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I doubt it was actually based on an actual system that was different, but it's quite possible that you're right. The concept of time might have been sort of vaguer at the time. They didn't really know that well. People weren't particularly good at keeping track of dates, but I think it's just arbitrarily made up is basically what I think, to kind of fill the time and tell a story, right? You know, for simplicity, because if you had people who lived regular lives and you realized that the world had to be a few thousand years old at least, like 4,000 years old or whatever it is, you don't want to tell the story of 400 generations or 200 generations. That would be a big book. You got to just be parsimonious with that shit tell fewer
true.
People.
That's true.
I think that's the reason, to have fewer stories to make it, to simplify it. It's got to be just to simplify the story.
Well, thinking about it from the terms of, let's just take this hypothetically. If you were a hunter-gatherer, you would still have some incentive to track your time, at least your personal time on the earth, like, you know, for the purpose of tracking your age or something, or how long you've been here. Like maybe they counted days.
Well, would you have a concept of that? I think people would have a vague general concept, like grandma's a lot older than dad or something like that. But I don't know that they would. They wouldn't. They may not have like a year, and you probably wouldn't know how old you were in years. I mean, even today, people don't necessarily know how old they are in years. I mean, in the West, we all do, obviously, but in, you know, some remote villages and stuff, they just don't really keep track of that stuff very well.
Well, can I ask you a trivia question?
Yeah.
Do you happen to know, and I don't, that's why I'm asking, when numbers were invented, and then how much longer after that calendars and time became a thing? Because it's, and yeah, the reason so, I ask, what's the answer first?
Well, so numbers were basically invented at the same time as letters, as writing. So Sumerian.
Phoenician.
So, before that, actually, Phoenicians were about 1200 BCE. We're going to talk about the origin of that, maybe. But it's really the Sumerians, and then adopted by the Babylonians. And they had a they didn't have our numbers, though. They had a sexagesimal.
But it was counting.
Decimal. It was counting, but base 60, not base 10.
Okay. So
so it's totally.
They would count it's 1, 2, 3, 4?
Yep, up to 60 instead of 10. And then you'd have the factors of 60, right? And that is kind of still preserved in our angles. And it's quite possible that it comes from actually calendars, the fact that the year is around 360 days, right? So, and then so 6 times 60 is 360. And so it's base 6 and base 60, which actually makes a lot more sense as a number system in a lot of ways, because 60 and 6 are such factorable numbers. It's factored by the same number as 10, but it's a lower number, so you can actually break it up much more easily. The only reason probably humans use a base 10 system, which is, again, completely arbitrary, but it's so ingrained in everything we know about numbers, and we're so trained to use base 10, and it's hard to think about anything else. It's just probably because we have 10 fingers.
Maybe, yeah, that's a good point.
But actually, there are people who do use a base 12 or a base 6 system, and you can easily count to 12 on your fingers if you just count the fingertips with your thumb. And you can do it on one hand, which is actually a little bit easier. So you take your thumb and you point it at your fingers sequentially. So you get 1, 2, 3, 4. And then you point it at your bones, your knuckle bones, or actually the inside of your knuckle bones, the curve of your finger. You get 3, 4, 5, 6. And then you get, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So your fingers, you're just thumb counting parts of your fingers, which is completely just as reasonable as counting full fingers.
You're counting all 8 joints on the other fingers on the same hand and the tips of those fingers. So 4 times 3 is 12.
Right, exactly. And so there's numbers of ways you can count on your body. So there's nothing sort of magical about 10 fingers, even. People think there is, but you can count in different ways. And actually, certain cultures do count that way. And so it's perfectly reasonable to have a base 12 or base 6 or base 60 system, which the Babylonians and Sumerians actually had, which we kind of still use for angles.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And degrees of latitude.
Well, I'm curious about this question, though, because about how long of a time there was between the advent of numbers versus when we started keeping track of time with calendars and things like that. Because
right away. Huh? I mean, numbers were probably invented for the purposes of keeping track of time, also transactions. But, writing was probably invented for the purpose of tax collection, of keeping track of transactions, of grain and planting and harvesting. So right away, I mean, I think numbers were basically invented to keep track of time.
But, but is that to say that we created numbers? Surely people were counting things before civilization came along and invented an idea of numbers, you know, because, you're shaking your head, but the reason I'm saying that is because all these anthropologists and historians say that hunter-gatherer cultures were known for their egalitarian structures, which would insinuate that they're conscious of what is available and would divvy it up evenly. So there must have been some quantification of resources happening, whether it was counting or dividing or multiplying in some primitive form. So I guess I'm saying we got on this little tangent because we were talking about, did people track their own ages or did they track time at all for at least for the purpose of tracking their own age? And I mean, I'm not I'm obviously not a historian or anything, but it seems like from what I've read, anthropologists talk about with what we know about hunter-gatherer societies, that it doesn't seem that crazy to me that they would have counted in some way, maybe not using numbers, but like it doesn't take that much imagination to like look at like a pie or something or some food that's available and divvy it up roughly evenly. So
yeah, that doesn't require counting to divvy things up evenly necessarily. You could just, you know, if you have like 60 or something, you just make piles that look relatively even. The thing is, people don't count below about 5 or 6 or 7 or something. Like, they just look at it and judge it, right? You don't actually count low numbers. I think evidence is mixed, and I think probably it also varies by hunter-gatherers. And I don't mean to say that hunter-gatherers didn't count at all. I'm sure they definitely had concept of like 3 buffalo versus 1 buffalo, that kind of thing. But formal counting systems probably didn't exist. I mean, they may have sort of had just, I mean, even today, certain hunter-gatherer groups kind of don't have number systems. They basically just say they maybe have numbers for one and then many, or one or a few and then many, right? And you don't really need to go into numbers like, oh, I brought back a few bananas, or I saw a few buffalo, or I saw 1 buffalo, or I saw many buffalo. But they're not going to be like, oh, there was 132 buffalo. Right. I mean, so to some extent, they certainly had concepts of one, many, few, stuff like that. And
plural and singular.
Yeah. And maybe some had concepts, you know, maybe some counted up to 12 or up to 10 or whatever it was. But I think it's mixed. And I think that there wasn't necessarily a formal counting system like this, which really is based around agriculture, planning, community, society, that kind of thing. It's sort of an invention. And it's interesting that, like, aliens, for example, would probably have a different number system from ours. Fundamentally, it's convertible. Like, computers use a different number system than ours, binary.
Right.
But so, you know, we have to deal with different number systems already. Computer scientists do, at least. So aliens probably just have something different, and it's completely arbitrary, just like the dates is arbitrary. But yeah. I think numbers were basically invented to track dates.
Yeah, this is the perfect segue into our very first calendar that emerges. Why don't you take it away, Andrew?
No, the first calendar? I think this first calendar is probably the Sumerian calendar. It's hard to say, though, but different cultures.
We can go with first mainstream with one. I'm calendars. Sure that there's.
Sumeria, most likely, is probably the first one, and it's a 360-day calendar. And we don't know exactly why it's 360 days, but we do know that they used base 60 number system, which is easily convertible into 360. It could be because of this influence of counting, but I think the most likely explanation is probably that 360 is approximately the number of days in the year, and they may indeed have thought it was the number of days in the year. 360, right. 365, pretty close. Obviously, if you use 360 days for your calendar, it's going to get off. You know, it's going to slip by 5 days every year, 5 1/4 days. So you're going to have to fix it every now and then. They probably just adjusted it every now and then. So instead of having leap years, maybe, I don't know, 30, 40 years later, a new emperor of the Sumerians comes along. Maybe Gozer. He was big in Sumeria. And then that was a Ghostbusters joke. And then they just reset it.
So you mean that by reset, you mean like they would
reset it. So because you have there a dating system for a calendar, 360 days, but you still don't have, you know, a year zero. Like right now we count, it's currently the year 2020 by some arbitrary, completely arbitrary Western civilization precept based on eventually the Christians, but originally the Romans and Greeks. Yeah. So what is your year zero? And if you don't have a year zero and you can just reset your calendars every now and then, like it doesn't really matter. But the interesting thing is multiple cultures that had no contact with each other also came up with similar calendars. The Mayans actually had a 360-day calendar also, which is really interesting, even though they had no contact whatsoever. So it's something kind of fundamental about 360, probably close to the number of years, days in the year. The other thing is, though, however, if you use a lunar calendar, so 12 times 29 days or 28 days, whatever it is, you end up with like 355, and 360 is halfway between the lunar and the solar. So it might be some kind of compromise. Why is what?
Why is it a different number of days if you use a lunar calendar?
Oh, because the moon, so the moon cycle is 28 days.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And then you multiply that by 12.
Right.
And you try to get it close to the three, which is, again, arbitrary to some extent. Although if you're using a number system that uses sort of base 12, or then it's sort of reasonable. But to get it close, the closest approximation.
You're talking about phases of the moon,
solar,
the calendar that tracks the phases of the moon.
Yeah, which is another. I'm with you now. And so the Mayans and the Mesoamerican civilizations used two separate calendars. One was based on the sun. It was a 360-day calendar. And one was based on, was it Venus, I believe? Yeah, Venus. Because Venus is the brightest object in the sky after the moon and the sun. And the Venus cycle is something like 200 and some days. So they actually used two different calendars together and would sort of plan things based on when the calendars coincided.
Yeah.
It was like a major celebration when the calendars coincided. Yeah.
So this first Sumerian calendar that's you know at least one of the earliest calendars that we still are aware of, was this the one that originally had 360 days?
Yes.
Okay. So when was it that this was corrected to 365 days? Was this the Gregorian calendar?
No, that's the Gregorian calendar is way, way, way later in the 1500s. So the calendar evolved through a lot of different civilizations. Our calendar effectively comes from the Greeks, but it's heavily influenced by the Sumerian and later Babylonian calendars of 360 days. So remember in my book, I talked about Eratosthenes.
Yep.
365 days with a leap year that comes from Eratosthenes. And he invented basically the dating system that we use today. However, he based it his year zero. So then you get into like what is zero, right? Because if you're gonna count years with numbers, you have to start somewhere. Like what year is it today? Oh, well, we just invented this calendar. We can make today year zero, I guess. Like now's year zero. But I mean the Hebrew calendar uses the theoretical creation of, or the putative creation of Earth. The Muslim calendar uses the exodus from Mecca to Medina. So when Muhammad and his followers went to Medina, where they basically created Islam, they use that as year zero, which is in 622 of our calendar. So the Muslim calendar, it's year, what, like 1400 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But Eratosthenes, who created the 365-day calendar that we use, used the fall of Troy, which we don't really know when the fall of Troy was, but it was probably about 1,000 years. Well, 1,000 years BCE, which would have been probably around 700 years ago to him.
Okay. It seems like we should probably, a good year zero would probably be the advent of society itself, so by that logic, we should just be looking to India or China.
Yeah, but no one knows. Zero. The thing is, it's gradual. Society is a very gradual thing. Like, what do you call the advent of civilization? I mean,
complex society.
Agriculture. Yeah,
jobs.
What does that mean? It's very arbitrary. What does that mean?
Well, because if you're going to have a dating system at all, as we established in the first part of this episode, it's going to be because you're going to have jobs. You're going to have people working together that need to show up at a certain time to do a certain thing. So it would make sense that you would have a year zero. This is somebody without a degree in anything arguing for this, mind you, that the year zero would be the day, you know, or we couldn't track it to a day, I'm sure, but the time when we decided we were going to start having jobs, complex society. Because that's what's different from you're laughing like you're patronizing me, but hear me out. Hear me out.
It's funny because, well, first of all, no one knows what that means. No one knows when that was, even if we had the best archaeologists. Okay, yeah.
Let me finish. Yeah. Okay, so my closing thought was going to be that, you know, of course we can't know when this actual advent was. Mm. There's no way we could know that. I already said that. But the point is that we know archaeologically there was a difference between the earliest societies. This is to your point. There was a difference between the earliest societies and complex society where people were actually like, you know, there was an urban downtown center with like places people could work and stuff, that being complex society. And that is arguably the beginning of the reason we needed calendars or time in the first place. Because it would have been the first time in history where we were coming together to do something.
The problem is, even if we had complete knowledge of everything that ever happened, it's still arbitrary because it wasn't like a light switch flipped overnight. It was very gradual. Yeah. So people had kind of like a mud house in a little village of like 10 people, 10 or 10 families, right. Let's say. And then, you know, it sort of grew, and later it was like 50 families, later 100 families. And it's not like they were hunter-gatherers and then the next day they reported for work, you know.
Of course not.
Now
I'm
a farmer, so I have to file my taxes as a farmer.
But if we're trying to talk about what an appropriate year zero would be, wouldn't we be looking to the east for it?
No. My view of what year zero should be is the beginning of the universe. But of course, that's very cumbersome to say, you know, it's currently the year 13,434,000,000.
Let's just stop counting.
We're going to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. I promise.
So there's other calendars. We talked about the Hebrew calendar, which has the year zero at creation of Earth, and then there's the Muslim calendar, which has the fleeing from Mecca to Medina. There's also the Japanese calendar, for example. Even in the 20th century, the Japanese used a calendar which uses the same length of year as ours, so the same, you know, same months, basically, months and days, but different year. And it was easily convertible, and it was based on the emperor. So when the emperor was born, or the Meiji era, I think, probably. So, in fact, I don't know if history buffs will definitely have heard of the Zero, which is a Japanese plane from World War II. It's the most famous, probably, Japanese warplane, the Zero. And it's so named because it comes about in the zeroth year, meaning when the Japanese calendar reset, which was 1940. In 1940, the Japanese calendar reset. So in all their military equipment, I'm big into history and stuff to an extreme extent, was all based on what year it was introduced. So they would say Type 97, which means 1937. Type 97 was a type of bomber, basically. Or they'd say Type 93 torpedo, which means it came out in 1933. And it's just an easy conversion from their calendar years to our calendar years. Yeah. So there's lots of different, in fact, almost all their equipment was actually designated just like that, Type 97, which meant like it was saying like a 1937 plane, basically.
Oh, okay.
Very, very systematic, very numeral based, actually.
Yeah.
And the French tried to totally reset the calendar. It's just an example of how arbitrary it is with all decimal. So the hours were decimal. There was 10 hours a day and 10 minutes per hour and 10 seconds per minute, which is perfectly reasonable your hours and minutes are different lengths, right? As long as you divide it properly. And they would have 10 months and 10 weeks and all that kind of stuff. So everything was supposed to be metric because metric is the best. But it's based on the also arbitrary base 10 counting system, which we talked about. So everything is arbitrary. We just have to agree on a convention. That's all it is. It's arbitrary.
Interesting. I've always wondered if uneducated musing here. I've always wondered if there's some, you know, etymological connection between the terms minute and minute. Those are obviously connected, but then also the words hour and like something like our collective work would do, like something we would do together over an hour of time. I don't know. Minute and hour.
Hard to say. You'd have to look at the etymology. It's probably known, actually. I don't know the answer to your question, but there probably is an answer, so I'll leave people to Google that.
Yeah, that's just always
perplexed me. People should Google from earlier, whether hunter-gatherers, there's any hunter-gatherers who use any kind of calendar or dating system.
Please let us know on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because we will probably forget to Google it.
Because we don't know.
Well, we're the lamest podcast hosts ever putting our listeners to work.
No, I think people like that.
No, I know. I'm just...
So we can talk about where our current dating system comes from. It's kind of based on the Romans, basically. Well, remember Eratosthenes. He was Greek in 365 days. But Rome kind of copied everything from Greece. So they just used the same 365-day year. And then we had the Julian calendar named after Julius Caesar and the Gregorian named after this monk who kind of reset the calendar and reinvented it to fix some errors in the 1500s.
Right.
But the so before this, you know, Eratosthenes used Troy as year zero, but people use different dates. You can kind of use any kind of arbitrary date. And one of the reasons why, so the Christian calendar was not invented around the birth of Jesus. It theoretically commemorates that with AD, Anno Domini, the year of our Lord, and BC. It's probably not before Christ. That's what we call it, but it's something in Latin, I'm sure, not in English. Which is why, because it's so centered on the Christian religion, I prefer scholars these days tend to prefer CE, Common Era, and BCE, before Common Era. And really all that's doing, it's obviously using the same arbitrary dating system, but it's just acknowledging that it's kind of applies wider than just the Christian or Western world. So it's kind of a world convention that I think we're just going to adopt because it's all arbitrary anyway.
Well, also because, you know, it makes sense that, you know, from somebody who, growing up, I was really opposed to when I would hear a scientist use CE or BCE, because I thought they were like, you know, I was raised in a super Christian house, and I was raised to think that that was like somehow a threat with, when scientists would do this. But it makes sense, you know, when you think about it in terms of exploration, which I'm actually close to finishing your book. Finally, it's taken me forever to finish it. But, you know, it's so easy when you think about time from like the standpoint of history, how it's not really a surprise that the Christian calendar kind of took over, especially because where Christianity or Roman Catholicism rather originally took root and what kind of migration happened after that and what kind of influence it ended up having. So it's not that crazy that, you know, that it did dominate under like the terms before Christ and after death or whatever. But I think it makes total sense what you just said about Common Era versus before Common Era. And, you know, I think it makes total sense that we should just adopt that.
So, but even the Christian calendar, which we now basically use in the world de facto uses, was not invented until many, many, many years after year zero. So it's not like the Christians came up with a calendar right away, right after Jesus was born or died or whatever it was. The calendar that we currently use was invented in the year 532 by this monk named Dionysius of Exegus. And he was actually not really seeking to create a new calendar or a new year zero or reset the calendar or anything like that. He was just trying to figure out when to celebrate Easter, which is kind of bizarre because Easter is the most ridiculously arbitrary date anyway. It's the first Sunday after the first full moon after the vernal equinox. It's based on three different, also arbitrary cosmological things that are just totally weird.
It's not as bad as Valentine's Day.
What's that based on? The massacre? No, that massacre wasn't. It just happened on the day. What's Valentine's Day based on? Is it a massacre or something? Yeah.
Well,
not
it might
the
be.
Massacre, but.
It might be, but A, that's not something worth commemorating, and B, now the only thing it's maintained is that you go buy Hallmark cards and chocolates, which is a stupid basis for a holiday, in my opinion.
Well, Mother's Day and Father's Day, same thing. I mean, it's clearly just commercial, really, right? That's why.
Yeah, but those I can get behind a little bit because it's like, yeah. You know, your parents, you know, I understand those.
You got something against love?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It said love is also arbitrary. No, I just think it's like totally a consumeristic holiday.
Huh.
Like worse than Christmas, because Christmas at least has the solstice going for it and like the coming of the sun and all that stuff.
Yeah,
but and there's consumerism surrounding all of our holidays, obviously, even birthdays and, you know, things like that. So I think, you know, we should expect that holidays to some extent are going to result in like heightened consumerism. But also, you know, I just don't like holidays that are fundamentally consumeristic. And that's what Valentine's Day seems like it's become.
All have sort of become that a little bit, but yeah. Anyway, so Dionysius of Exegus, he basically invented the AD system. He actually didn't invent BC system. He had no concept of anything before Jesus. He had no date for that. It just started in year one because year zero hadn't been invented yet either. The number zero actually was a pretty important invention for mathematics, and it had been invented in India. I think it came from India originally and was adopted by the Arabs, and it was introduced to Europe through Spain where the Arabs lived, where the Moors lived, the Moors of Spain.
Imagine that. Imagine traveling with that invention. I bring you nothing.
Zero. Yeah. Zero is a really, really important invention.
I have something important to teach you, and it is nothing.
Yeah. Nothing is very important, actually.
But it's radical.
Because without the concept of it, it's very difficult to do mathematics. I mean, the Romans use these numerals. If you ever try to do math with Roman numerals, it's ridiculously hard.
Yeah.
Like, there is no really system to do. I don't know. The Romans must have been really great with their abacuses or something, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, zero, the concept of zero, I guess, was invented, I think, in India and then spread to Europe through the Muslims. But, yeah, so he didn't have a concept of zero. So he just started at year one when he thought Jesus was born, I guess. But he was just kind of working on sketchy record, like, the Bible, basically. I think he just kind of figured it out from the Bible and whatever fragments of Roman history he had to try to figure it out. So it's not only arbitrary where that was set, where AD starts in year one, but probably wrong also.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's at least 5 or 10 years off or something like that. Margin of error plus or minus 10 years or something. This was introduced in the year 532. And then this... probably the greatest, well, the only known English historian of the Dark Ages in 732. He's called the Venerable Bede, and he provides most of the information we have on Saxon England. He invented BC. So, and this was about 200 years later. He invented the concept of before Christ, which probably does not stand for before Christ, actually. It's probably something Latin. But
to be fair, just to clarify, the Jewish calendar already existed at this point, obviously, and they would have been on totally different, you know, they had, you're talking about the concept of BC, but like, that's not to say that people didn't, you know, deny those times before this concept existed. It was just like the idea of kind of like negative numbers, essentially, or something for a calendar.
Yeah, so... right, absolutely. And it's kind of like that. And and it's kind of backwards. It is kind of negative numbers. And I think it's probably before the concept of negative numbers existed. So it is really kind of interesting. But it solved the problem of what happened, because people knew that there was stuff before Jesus, obviously. There's tons of stuff because there was a big group of population at the time, right? In the Roman Empire and stuff. So, but you're right. The Hebrew calendar solves the system nicely by not needing any negative numbers, because it starts at creation, theoretically. Of course, it's wrong, but if it was right, then it would kind of be a neat package. It would be basically, the Hebrew calendar is basically what I think should be the calendar, which starts at 13.4 billion years.
Yeah.
But the just numbers are pretty different.
Yeah. If only when the Jewish calendar came around, if only they'd had more understanding of archaeology and you know, astronomy and astrophysics, it would have made for a much better calendar right out of the gate.
Or if only the universe conformed to God's desires, and then the world would only be 4,000 years old or whatever it is, and then we'd solve the problem. Actually, 6,000 years old, I guess. Yeah, I think.
But the dinosaur bones are a hoax, Andrew. They're all made of plaster, and they've just been put there by scientists to dig up later.
Yeah. Yeah,
like a dog burying its bone to dig it up later. That's all it is.
Yep. So before, before Dionysius of Exodus and the Venerable Bede basically co-invented this dating system of AD BC in the 500s and 700s AD. So they still had this 365-day calendar, which was Roman, based on the Greek one, invented by Eratosthenes. But the only difference was, what's the starting year? So where is year zero? And people could just kind of reset this arbitrarily. So they would reset it, oh, Julius Caesar became emperor, so let's just start counting from there. And then you would say, like, oh, 50 years before Caesar, you know? And in fact, Dionysius, the guy who invented the calendar basically in 532, he chose the name Anno Domini possibly as a direct challenge to Diocletian, who is this emperor in the 300s, or 200s, I guess, who persecuted, late 200s, who persecuted the Christians. Because the standing calendar at the time was Anno Diocletian AD.
Oh, interesting.
So at the time in Europe, we think maybe people were dating the current year, zero, to around 284 CE. So people were calling the date, oh, it's now year 360 Anno Diocletian, AD.
Anno Diocletian. Interesting. I've never heard
and
that.
And so what they did was they basically just reset AD to mean something else. So they just rebranded it.
Right. Well, this is, I guess, the whole point of this is a recurring point in the whole episode, which is that the whole thing is arbitrary. It just keeps getting retooled anyways. So we might as well just keep working our different calendars and concepts of, you know, time together until it like gets, you know, a little more streamlined.
The same thing is that almost everything in humanity, we like to organize things and we give things names. Like, what is the name of North America? What is the name of America?
Right.
It's completely arbitrary. It's just something we all agree on. Things get ingrained by inertia. So we started with this Christian calendar based on really like this Roman calendar and Greek calendar. And then it was kind of modified from the Babylonian calendar, which was modified from the Sumerian calendar. So it's all just kind of builds and then it kind of just gets applied. And that's why we should really call it CE and BCE, because now at this point in Earth's history, we're a one global system and it's really a common calendar. Because mm-hmm. it's the calendar that anyone uses for business or anything important.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, totally.
Some religious people still use their own calendars. But really, at this point, the whole world has adopted what is theoretically the Christian calendar, originally the Roman one. So that's why it makes sense to call it that. Yeah.
And the ultimate argument for that is that there are bananas in the grocery store next to my house. No bananas grow here, but they come from somewhere. And we should all be on the same time because we have bananas in our stores and things like that.
Yay science. Yeah. Yay globalization.
or if you want a more niche example of that, like a yuzu lemon or something like that, or I guess it's just called a yuzu, not a yuzu lemon, but like, there's tons of things that come from like on the opposite side of the world that we don't even think about. And it's like, it's crazy that anything gets done, you know, with as much evolution that's happened with our calendar and, you know, time over the last century, two centuries, you know, even across the last couple thousand years, it's changed so much. So it's crazy that we've been able to accomplish so many things in spite of that. But it's kind of funny to think
that's what allows things to get done is just standardization and acceptance of
exactly
convention.
Yeah. But it's interesting to think of time, like our concept of time has evolved just like life evolves. It's like this picture of evolution is even apparent in the stuff that we make. And
the evolution of
honing
culture,
in on ideas. Evolution of culture. It's it's everywhere. So I guess it really shouldn't be a surprise.
Think of the durian.
Yeah. Wait, what's that? Pick of the durian?
Durian is a very smelly fruit from Asia, which you can sometimes find in a grocery store. Smells terrible, but yeah. You're talking about fruits from around the world. That is the most loved / hated fruit in the world.
Have you heard of this berry? I can't remember where it grows. I think in the Amazon or something, but it's this berry that if you eat it, it disables your sour taste buds. So you can eat a lemon afterwards and it just tastes like an orange. Have you ever tried this?
I heard something about that. No, I haven't, but I've heard something about this. Yeah.
I tried it one time and I couldn't believe it. I thought I was going to be like, okay, whatever. But it literally, the lemon tasted just like an orange. It was crazy. I couldn't believe it. I just sat there and ate a lemon. It was probably terrible for my teeth.
Yeah. Well, just one more thing on calendars. So I want to leave listeners with the fact that all our dates are wrong.
Do go on.
So New Year's, the god of New Year is basically Janus, which is what January is named after. And Janus was the god of looking forwards and backwards, and that's basically the basis of New Year's resolutions. So Janus would take stock of the year, which is what we do, and then look forward to the future. So he looks back and assesses what happened and plans for the future. It's Janus. But the Roman calendars, the Roman calendar that we use, basically, the months, starts in January, Janus, and then there's a number of... All the months were originally just numbered, so 1 through 12. But then Julius wanted his month, July, and Augustus wanted his month, August. So they just kind of stuck them in there arbitrarily. And that offset
July is the first one to begin without the name of a sun god or a planetary god, right? It's like he was the first.
Possibly.
It's the first month to begin with a person's name.
Yes, correct. But what happened was they inserted the two months, and then they're all wrong. All the others are wrong.
Right.
So September, Sept, literally means
six. Right?
Six. Yeah. And it's the ninth month.
It was moved because of Julius Caesar putting his month in July. Is that it? Is that the idea?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
October, and so all those other ones got shifted back?
Exactly. October means eight and it's the 10th.
Ah.
Oh, no. September means seven and it's nine. So they're all off by two. September means seven, not six. Sept, seven, and it's
that
the 9th.
That makes more sense.
October, octo, eight is the 10th. November, nine means nine, nov. Nivo, and it's the 11th, and December literally means 10, Dessa, and it's the 12th. They're all wrong.
Interesting. So starting with July, everything's off by 2 months.
Yeah, because of Caesar, because of Julius and Augustus Caesar.
And also, I thought there was something also about people, like old, like primitive people, maybe not primitive people, but in early history, people thought that the year actually began, and maybe this was Julius Caesar's idea, that up until a certain point, people thought the year actually began around March because it was where the temperature started like becoming mild and so for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, that's completely arbitrary also. I mean, theoretically, I guess our New Year's maybe somewhere around the solstice. That's the astronomical event. But obviously, anytime you start the year is completely arbitrary. You can start the year on December 15th or whatever it is. But yeah.
Because it's not like we can actually say what season it was at the moment of the Big Bang.
Like, what season was it? And also, even the government uses a different calendar. Their fiscal year goes until end of September, starts in October. So government spending is based on a completely different calendar. Well, not completely different, just starts in a different place.
Well, I guess we can all throw away our calendars and our watches and just do whatever we want.
No, because they're all fictions that we've agreed to and make sense. And they don't make sense, but they are useful to help us get shit done. I mean, we have different units of time that sort of make sense arbitrarily, roughly speaking. It's the same with measurements. I mean, why do we most commonly rely on measurements of a foot or a meter? Both of those are sort of the scale that a human can easily visualize. A meter is sort of around your arm span, and a foot is sort of the length of your foot, roughly speaking. And so they're kind of... Imagine we tried to measure everything in blue whales, which I think is a perfectly legitimate measurement of length, except that blue whales vary. But, you know, you pick one, so is a foot. Our feet vary as well. So you pick a blue whale. I always try to visualize how tall buildings are and really large objects in blue whales, so I actually do use blue whales as a unit of measurement.
I actually do use blue whales as a unit of measurement. I want that on a t-shirt with your face on it, Andrew Rader. That is ridiculous.
Because you know, like, roughly how long a blue whale is, right?
Trying to measure something in feet doesn't make any sense.
If you're trying to talk about a tall building, it's more a question of how many blue whales is it.
I get it. I get the appeal. I get the appeal. Well, this has been a fun one. Hope you guys are enjoying your new year. Happy New Year to all the listeners. Hope your resolutions are going like shit so that the middle of the year, you can reassess them all and start over. That's what I do. I don't know about you, Andrew, but I don't really do New Year's resolutions. I just tend to think about stuff all year round.
Yeah, more or less. I mean, again, it's arbitrary, but I think that there's something about the holidays that it's time to take stock of what happened and think about the future, like Janice.
Of course. But,
yeah, I mean, not specifically. Generally, I don't have a specific resolution. Sometimes I've tried.
I've kind of given up on that, but I know some people that do it and seem to have pretty good luck. So whatever your arbitrary set of resolutions are, we hope you've enjoyed this resolution on New Year's and the advent of time. I guess we've done episodes on time, and I think we have an episode called The History of Time. Hope you guys have enjoyed this one. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can do that. I'm at Julian Was Here. Andrew is at Mars Raider. And we do these episodes every Monday. Hope to have you back next week.
Thanks for listening.